journey into a world that is just beyond our comprehension. The world of the paranormal.
The 13 Skulls. In this episode, we'll be taking a look at the Valley of the Headless Man, a black object supposedly tethered to the sun, a Russian alien autopsy video, an ancient document claims Jesus lived to be 106 years old and died in Japan, the Gadabout TM 1050 time machine, demolition workers photograph a ghost, a floating zombie-proof island house, China says its orbiter photographed an alien base on the moon, and a human-sized bat that many people have thought to be the Chupacabra. That and a lot more in this 66th episode of the 13 Skulls. Can you honestly believe how long it's been since a show has come out? I'm wondering if anyone is still listening. I don't know how much of what I have in the show today is still accurate. I haven't had much time to double check all the stuff I've had over the past several months, but I'm going to go with it. And if anything I cover has changed and anyone knows about it, please let me know. I'd like to make any corrections to anything that I cover in the show that's not accurate, that has been proven to be false or anything along those lines. I wanted to give a shout out first to everybody who's contacted me. Thank you, S, for the donation to the show, and thank you for writing in to let me know you're still a fan of the show. I haven't had a chance to respond to your email, but I promise you that I will. I wanted to give a thank you to Tim, Brian, Andrew, Mark, Charlene, Stephen, Donovan, Jay Stephen, and anyone else that I might have forgotten to mention for emailing me. Thank you. I really do appreciate it. If I did forget someone, I truly do apologize. Over the last 10 months, my inbox has just, it's blown up and been overloaded. So I might have missed one here and there, and I do apologize if I have. But thank you nonetheless for writing in and still being a fan of the show. I really do appreciate it. Thank you to Rojan and Lobo out there at the Project Archivist podcast for having me on as a guest on their show. It was a lot of fun, and it was really nice to finally get to talk to you guys. You can find them at projectarchivist.com. And thank you to all of you who have given their congrats on the addition to my family. My little girl, Malia, is now almost 10 months old. It's just really hard to believe. You know, time flies so fast. It's just amazing. With that said, let's get on with the show. I guess I'll take my 2 minutes here to just kind of talk to you guys for a moment before we get into all the stuff that's in the show. I've wanted to get behind the mic for a long time now and just haven't been able to find the time or, you know, be able to find the energy to do it. I've been exhausted for the past 10 months and I'm now a stay-at-home dad, so I'm even more strained for time. You know, recording in the middle of the night, I'm in the room next door to my daughter's room, so I'm kind of timid to really get too loud or anything because I'm afraid I'm going to wake her up, but I've got this little video monitor that I'm watching right now out of the corner of my eye to make sure that I don't wake her up. But it's been a lot of fun. I've wanted to get behind the mic. I just haven't had a chance to. And I do apologize for taking such a long time to get behind the mic. It's been driving me nuts. You know, I've wanted to get a show out for a long time and just haven't been able to do it. So I figured what better time to get a show out than Halloween. It's, you know, I wanted to get it out earlier in the weekend, earlier in the week on the weekend, whenever, you know, right before Halloween, but I just wasn't able to do it. So I'm doing this now and getting it out there on Halloween, which is the date that I really wanted to get it out there. Kind of a rebirth of the show on what better time than All Hallows Eve. I thought it was rather fitting. So let's go ahead and get on with it. Let me go ahead and get on with the first article that we wanted to take a look at, which is courtesy of chinapost.com.tw. Now, a lot of these articles are from earlier in the year. I tried to find some new stuff, but nothing really caught my eye. So, you know, if a lot of this stuff is outdated or whatever and you guys have heard more about it, let me know. I'm just going with what I got. So hopefully it'll be an interesting show. If not, I've got to knock the dust off, get back on, take the training wheels off and get back on the bike. A student of the National University of Tainan in southern Tainan City in China was recently given a leave of absence, although he clearly cited the reason for the leave as being he was snatched away by aliens. The freshman filed an application for the leave because he was unable to go to the class for 2 hours on December 15th. In the application form, he wrote down that he was held hostage and taken away by aliens from an unnamed planet as the reason for his absence. The school's administration gave its approval for the computer system the following day. But the event soon became hot news on the local campus, drawing attention from the media in the area. Some students wondered whether there are school rules concerning attack from aliens being legitimate for an absence from school. Following questions by reporters, the student filed a new application and changed the reason for his absence to discomfort without explaining whether the aliens had showed up. Now, it makes me wonder, you know, why would you put that on there if you're just, you know, making fun? But, you know, if you really were abducted and you could prove it, you know, I guess it'd be kind of like having a doctor's note or something. I don't really know. But anyway, I just thought it was interesting this kid got out of school because, you know, he said he was abducted by aliens. I've never been abducted. I'm a person that believes what you see, you know, most of the time. So there you go. You know, I haven't ever been abducted by aliens, so I can't say that it's true. But then again, I can't say that it's not true either. Anyway, let's go ahead and move on to something else that I thought was rather fascinating. I was doing a little bit of searching around for some good podcasts to listen to, and I came across a website called Squidoo. Yeah, I think that's how you say it. Anyway, it's a collection of things that you know and that you love and that you can write for yourself. I guess you have your own little blog or something on there. Anyway, you can find them at squidoo.com. The web address is squidoo.com/best-podcasts. And it lists the best podcasts according to this site for entertainment podcasts, music podcasts, and education podcasts, and paranormal podcasts. And they have a top 6 here of the best paranormal podcasts. Number one is obviously Mysterious Universe. Number two was The Paranormal Cafe, which I thought was pretty good. Number three was Whitley Strieber's Unknown Country. Number four were the Earth Files podcasts, which I've never really listened to, but I've heard it's really good. Number five was the Paracast. And number six was the 13 Skulls. Can you believe that? Now, does that really mean anything? Does that really matter that this one particular website put me up there at the top six of the best paranormal podcasts out there? I don't know. Believe you me, I'm not going to be getting a big head or an ego about this, but I thought it was rather interesting and flattering, to be completely honest with you, that I could be in there in the best podcast with Mysterious Universe, the Paracast, and with Whitley Strieber of all people. So anyway, I just thought it was really interesting. If you want to go check them out at squidoo.com. And again, that's squidoo.com/best-podcast. Anyway, let's go ahead and move on to another article, which is courtesy of raven-talesoftheweird.blogspot.com. And it's the Valley of the Headless Man. The Nahanni Valley of Canada's Northwest Territories has been called one of the last truly unexplored places in the world. Lying above the 60th parallel, it is accessible only by air, water, or a long overland journey from the village of Tungsten. As a result, much of the area remains unexplored, despite being declared a national park in 1976. Native tales tell of an unknown evil lurking within 200-mile gorge, and most avoid the area. Local oral history also tells of a mountain-dwelling tribe known as the Naha. That's N-A-H-A. The Naha were feared by the region's Dene people, as they often descended to raid nearby villages. These tales end with the rapid, mysterious disappearances of the Naha. No trace of this tribe has ever been found. The eerie nickname attached to 200 Mile Gorge is the Valley of the Headless Men. This name comes from a series of unexplained incidents in the gorge during the gold rush of the early 20th century. Two brothers, Willie and Frank McLeod, left in 1906 in an attempt to reach the Klondike through Nahanni. Nothing was heard from them for the next 2 years. Rumors spoke of the two finding the motherlode of gold. Despite this, no efforts were made to find them. In 1908, another prospecting expedition discovered two bodies later identified as the brothers. Both had been decapitated. This incident would likely have been marked up to just another macabre tale of the North had they only been headless bodies. In 1917, the body of a Swiss prospector by the name of Martin Jorgensen was found next to his burned cabin, and he was decapitated. In 1945, the body of a miner from Ontario, whose name seems to be lost to history, was found in his sleeping bag without his head. A trapper named John O'Brien was found frozen next to his campfire, matches still clutched in his hand. Theories abound as to what happened to these men and others. Up to 44 other people have disappeared here. Some put the attacks down to grizzly bears, some feuding prospectors, and other natives. Some say the area is naturally heated by hot springs and is practically a tropical paradise. But the theories often speak of the valley being a haven for the Sasquatch. Some even claim that the valley is the entrance to the Hollow Earth. Thought it was a really interesting tale. Why would these people be decapitated? Are there head-hunting tribes up there? I don't really know. I thought it was rather interesting and just a neat little tale, especially since we're coming around Halloween. So let's go ahead and move on to something that I found to be rather odd. I'd never really heard of this until recently. It's courtesy of odditycentral.com. Ancient documents claim Jesus lived to be 106 and died in Japan. So the story goes, Christ visited Japan between the ages of 21 and 33. This is conveniently supported by the fact that the Bible skips over large periods of Christ's early life. He spent this time studying the native language and culture before returning to Jerusalem. But what about the crucifixion? Well, it wasn't Christ that was crucified at all. According to this theory, it was his younger brother, Isukiri, who took his place on the cross. In the meantime, Christ fled to Siberia. After a few years, he traveled via Alaska and arrived at the port of Hachinohe, 40 kilometers from the village of Shingo, where he married, had three children, and died at the age of 106 years old. The source of the story is a series of ancient Japanese documents that provide details about the escape of Christ from the Holy Land of Jerusalem. Called the Takanuchi documents, they are said to be over 1,500 years old and passed down from generation to generation in the Takanuchi family. English translations are available. However, the real attraction in the village of Shingo isn't the document or the story itself, but the very tomb of Jesus Christ. On top of a wooded hill overlooking the rice fields lie two graves, each a mound of earth marked with a wooden cross. The grave to the left has the ear of Itsukuri, along with a lock of the Virgin Mary's hair. The one on the right is where the bones of Jesus Christ himself are buried. The theory has been described as, you know, a hoax by many and only just to boost tourism. Seems to be a lot of people that actually believe that this is true. There are pictures here and a video of the crosses themselves that you can go and take a look at. I thought it was a rather interesting story to think that maybe Jesus lived out his days in Japan, of all places. I want you guys to go and take a look at this for yourself, watch the video, see what you think about the possibility of Jesus dying in Japan at 106 years old. So let's go ahead and move on to something else, which is courtesy of BeforeIt'sNews.com. A terrified woman wakes up in another universe. Hours. What would you do if you found yourself in a strange bed, your workplace had changed, and you discovered your lover no longer existed? Well, a woman by the name of Lorena Garcia claims that that's exactly what happened to her. What started as an ordinary day, waking up in bed, evolved into a series of fearful, shocking, and haunting horrors for a desperate woman lost in an alien world. Our world. As Lorena Garcia left her bedside, she noticed the sheets and bedclothes were strange. She didn't recognize them at all. Still shaking off the last vestiges of sleep, she simply shrugged away the eerie discovery and began her morning routine. But Garcia would soon learn that once she'd left the slightly alien bed, she entered another reality. Her life, her past, everything most precious to her was gone. As she went through the routines of her first day in another universe, she noticed small incongruities, things out of place, items missing, or items she hadn't purchased. As she later wrote on the internet seeking someone to offer an explanation for her nightmarish dilemma and maybe offering some help, she said, "One day I woke up and found that everything was different. Nothing spectacular or having to do with time travel or such things. I simply woke up in the same year and day on which I went to bed, but many things were different. They were very small things, but sufficiently important to know that there was a point at which everything was different. But not everything that changed was small. Although her car seemed the same as she still worked at the same company she had for 20 years in the same building, she was shocked to learn her department no longer listed her. Her office was now in another department in a completely different part of the building. As the level of strangeness escalated, she dealt with her hesitancy and surprise by telling co-workers she wasn't feeling well. This is what she said on her first day on an alien Earth. She said, 4 months ago, I awoke on a normal morning. I was in my rented home where I'd been living for 7 years. Everything was the same except for the bed linen was different. I paid no attention at the time. So I went to my car, which was parked where I'd always parked in the same office I'd worked in for the last 20 years. But when I got to my department, it wasn't my department. It has names on the door and mine wasn't on it. I thought I was on the wrong floor, but no, it was on my own floor. I went over to the office's wireless section and looked myself up. I still worked there, but in another department, reporting to a superior I didn't even know. So I went to the department indicated in the directory, said I was feeling ill, and left. All the contents of my handbag were the same, credit cards, ID, everything. But I didn't recall having changed departments at any time. I went to the doctor and underwent drug and alcohol testing, and I was all clean. I returned to work the next day and was able to make my way by asking questions and saying that I wasn't feeling well. Now, there's a lot more here to what this woman was saying about what happened to her and how upset she got over it and thinking that maybe somebody had just played a prank on her or, you know, something along those lines. She really was very confused about it. Now, this is quite a long article, has a lot to it and a lot of comments about what's going on here, you know, to go along with this article. But, you know, is it some kind of psychological thing where she woke up in the same place with the same stuff, but maybe there was some kind of strange amnesia thing going on. I don't really know, but I thought it was rather fascinating. Or maybe she did wake up on an alien Earth. This goes along with the time travel thing, and I thought it was rather fascinating. It's courtesy of thetruthbehindthescenes.org. A time traveler who came back after 74 years died at the age of 31 at 105 years old. Now, this was translated, and it said, "Did a space-time vortex snatch a man from the 1800s and plop him down in the middle of traffic on a busy New York City street?" Many witnesses, including the New York Police Department, say yes. The Spanish website SinMisterios.com recounts the tale of the best documented occurrence of time travel in recorded history. The incident is allegedly corroborated by witnesses 74 years apart. All the details are said to be documented by official law enforcement records. Now, this is a photograph of Rudolf Fins. He disappeared in 1876. Despite an intense search by police, Fins was never found. Yet his family always held out hope that he immigrated maybe from Europe and would return. They waited several years, eventually dying one by one, still with the hope that their beloved Rudolf might come back. Long after all his living relatives had died, Rudolf Fins did return. And he returned in the most incredible fashion possible. Rudolf Fins suddenly materialized on June of 1950 in the middle of a busy Fifth Avenue in downtown Manhattan, 74 years after vanishing without a trace. Seconds after reappearing in the midst of heavy traffic, he was struck down and killed by a car. Time had played a cruel trick on Fins. It propelled him three quarters of a century into the future, only to toss him in front of a speeding automobile. New York's finest got involved, and from the beginning of their investigation into the odd death of strangely attired man, the New York police knew the case was anything but typical. The motorist who struck and killed the odd pedestrian testified the man seemed bewildered and confused and in a daze. The driver swore the man literally appeared with no warning right in front of him. The corpse itself was an enigma. Although he was deceased and dressed immaculately and his clothes looked new, the police investigation confirmed the mystery man laying dead in the street wore clothing almost a century out of date. According to the police records written by the investigating officers at the scene of the accident, the dead man wore a black coat, a wide-brimmed hat, trousers, and odd shoes that fastened with archaic 19th-century-style oversized buckles. And he appeared to be in his early 30s. Police found coins long out of general circulation, some still retaining mint luster in the man's pocket. In his leather billfold were U.S. banknotes with the date preceding the 1870s and crisp calling cards engraved with the name Rudolf Fins Sr. The officers also discovered a receipt for the boarding of horses and storage of a carriage among the man's effects. Now, there's quite a bit more here to this article that you can go and read. I thought it was a rather fascinating thing. There's a couple of other related articles there that you can go and take a look at, too. But it was really interesting. There's a picture of the man here that you can go and take a look at of Rudolf Fins. I just thought it was really fascinating that this man, it's a strange thing. You know, you get, how did he get transported in time if he did? And why to New York? Why to the middle of a street? I mean, what happened there to cause that to happen? I don't know any of the story preceding him showing up into the middle of the street, so it kind of leaves it all up in the air as to really what happened to this guy. Very strange. Very, very strange. I thought it was really interesting. So, on the same note of time travel, these next two articles are courtesy of Wired.com and CurioandCompany.com. It's the Gadabout TM-1050 Time Machine. Now, you can't buy the time machine, but you can buy the manual. The manual points out useful features of the Gadabout TM-1050. It's a cigar lighter, ice dispenser, and adjustable seats. The troubleshooting section covers what to do if you discover two of yourself when you arrive at a destination, accidentally kill your grandfather, or get stuck in a time loop. However, you want to pay close attention to the instructions about checking the battery charge because there doesn't seem to be any solution for failure on that. If you do get stranded somewhere, the Gadabout's emergency beacon will transmit your space-time position to an emergency response center. It says, quote, furthermore, the colored Pe-ho-ho, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that right, inside the beacon is scientifically proven to produce a soothing and calming effect. You can also talk with a representative of the emergency response center through a two-way communicator. It's not here yet, but you can find the manual. You can buy it, actually. You can get your hands on it. It was originally printed in 1953 and released from a collector's estate last year. The cover is a luxurious, velvety, heavy paper, and you can go and buy it. You can go to Curio and Company here too and find all the dimensions on it and everything like that. And actually, you can get a poster for it too. But it's just a funny thing. I want you to go take a look at it. It has some pictures there of what this time machine looks like and what you would get if you happen to buy one, even though they don't make them. I wanted to move on to something that is a little bit on the creepy side. It's a full-bodied apparition caught on tape. But first, we're going to take a little bit of a break. So you guys stay put. We'll be back in just a minute.
For newly released horror movie reviews on DVD and Blu-ray, with super horror movie recommendations, all visible via video podcast, we present the Ultimate Horror Podcast Network, Horror House. Featuring Home Video, Grizzly Zone, the Extreme Horror Podcast, check us out at www.horrorpalace.com.
Someone please tell me what that was?
It's a trap.
The number one contemporary radio drama on iTunes.
Holy hell, this is fun!
The front door! They're almost through!
Everyone in the stairwell!
He's getting through here!
The number one contemporary radio drama on Zune.
Let him in! Oh God, let him in! Please hurry!
Over 200,000 downloads in season one.
Come on, you want some? Come get some!
There's no way out to up here.
Just go!
RadiodramaRevival.com says, tight, action-packed serial. A reader's choice program.
I just sent two of my good friends out there to try and help you people, and I'll be damned if you throw it back in their faces.
Michael!
See if you're not hooked, writes TheExaminer.com.
Hold on!
This is one of the best audio productions made in a long time, says a worldonfire.com.
You can't! Do it! Do it! Shoot it!
We're Alive, a story of survival. Tune in on iTunes or at www.zombiepodcast.com.
All right, now moving on to some of the other more creepy, interesting things that we've taken a look at in this show. We are going to be taking a look at a YouTube video, courtesy of YouTube.com, obviously, but it's a full-bodied apparition supposedly caught on tape in an attic. Now, this video is about 32 seconds long, and what you're going to see is a typical attic. You got your rafters, you got some random stuff laying around, and it's overlooking this rather large area. And to the left, about middle of the way into the screen on the left side, you'll see this black object kind of come in and kind of move away rather quickly. It comes in from the left. It looks like it's moving around, and it actually looks like a human body moving around. Is it someone up there in the video just, you know, that it didn't capture it very well? To me, I don't think so. I think it actually looks as if it is some kind of a black figure. I don't really know what to make of it. When I say black figure, I mean like a shadow figure. It's transparent. It's not solid. It looks as if it's, you know, obviously a shadow figure of some kind, because you can see the rafters through this apparition or whatever it is. I don't really know. Like I said, I want you guys to go and take a look at this. Now, the little caption at the bottom says that this person's paranormal team investigated a 120-year-old building, and while they were investigating the raised ceiling, they caught the most amazing piece of evidence that they themselves have ever seen. It's been analyzed by all kinds of people, the fact and faked people from the TV show, from GHI, from MUFON to UFO experts have taken a look at this video, and apparently they can't debunk it. I thought it was rather interesting. I want you guys to go and take a look at it. And, you know, I'm not really sure how long I'm going to make this show, just because there's so much stuff in the show notes that I want you guys to go and take a look at that I had a hard time choosing what to put in the show. There is just a tremendously large amount of stuff, more than I think I've ever posted before as far as links. So go to the13skulls.com and check out the links for the show in the show notes, and you'll see tons of other stuff that I'm not covering, because there's just so much that I had a hard time choosing. So anyway, let's go ahead and move on to the next article, which is courtesy of care2.com. That's C-A-R-E, the number 2.com. And supposedly what you're going to see here is what some people are calling the footprint of God. And it looks like a maybe 5 foot tall human-shaped foot imprint in a rock. Now, supposedly, according to the Bible, according to the Bible, the King James Version, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Nobody truly, honestly knows the origin of man. So, you know, a lot of people say that they do. Personally, I don't think that you could ever really tell me you know 100% for sure where humans came from. Yeah, the Big Bang, science and all that stuff, and yeah, religion and, you know, God put us here and all this stuff. I don't really know. I just think it's interesting. Just the idea of all of this stuff is just fascinating to me. But apparently, author, scientist, explorer, and real-life Indiana Jones, Michael Tellinger, recently shared in his newsletter what he feels to be the best piece of evidence that there could have been giants upon the Earth a very long time ago. This concept connects to a highly controversial quote from the Bible, and that Bible is what we just talked about. There's a video here of Michael Tellinger walking up. It's about 2 minutes, 59 seconds, walking up this hill to go see this footprint, or what looks like a footprint. Now, it could have been carved by somebody. You never know. But there are distinct toes in this footprint. There is the curve, you know, around the inside of the foot where the arch would be. You know, if you look at a footprint made in mud, that's what you would see, you know, with the heel and everything there. Now, it looks to be about 7.5 meters tall, and I'm trying to see exactly where he would have discovered this at, but anyway, I just thought it was really interesting, and I want you guys to go and take a look at this supposed footprint of God. Now, again, was it somebody who carved this out? I don't really know, but it's a rather fascinating thing. The footprint was in granite and was discovered in 1912 by a farmer. From what I'm seeing here, it was in southern Africa in the eastern Transvaal. The footprint remains in the same condition as it was when it was first discovered, and the possibility that it was carved is in a hoax is extremely low because of its remote location. Yeah, I've seen some things that are remote before that you wouldn't think that people from way back in those days would have been able to do, like some of the Aboriginal, or I guess Aboriginal, they did a lot of paintings, you know, they did a lot of artwork, and a lot of old stuff that has been done in caves as far as artwork goes, that it's in places that makes you wonder, did they build scaffolding to get to it or what, because it's so high up. Now, is it really, you know, a hoax? Did someone carve it? I mean, we can work with granite nowadays. What makes you, you know, what would stop someone from back in those days being able to work with it too? But it is a rather interesting footprint, if that's what it is. I want you guys to go and take a look at it and let me know what you think. I'd love to hear about it. Now, the next thing that I want to take a look at is courtesy of specializedtactical.com, and it's the Zombie Slayer rifle. It was introduced in 2011. It was built by STS and was donated to the Cry Precision and to be auctioned off. All the proceeds went to charities and was auctioned off for about $13,000. And they were only going to limit it to being sold to people within their inner circle, but they decided to make about 50 of these and sell them and put them on the market. The original weapon was built before everyone and their dog came out with the zombie weapon. The weapon is not just an AR-15 with the zombie logo. Every piece is uniquely zombie. The custom zombie logo takes 2 hours alone to machine and is hand-painted. Ships with the book, The Zombie Survival Guide, and yes, I'm sure a lot of you have heard of that. You have custom fire control, safe, ninja, and Jedi, specially built VLTOR upper receiver, direct impingement system, 16-inch STS salt bath nitrate 1-8 stainless barrel, STS zombie muzzle thumping device, or ZMTD, Magpul stock grip, V-grip, and P-mag, Magpul backup sights, tungsten gray Cerakote finish, match 2 stage trigger, KNS anti-rotation pins, assembled and individually tuned by STS, and it comes with a tactical case. I just thought it was really interesting that they actually made this weapon as a zombie defense weapon. I just thought it was fascinating because I love zombies. And on that same note, the perfect house for surviving a zombie apocalypse has gone up for sale. Now, I don't know if it has sold yet because Well, I'm a little bit late with getting things up to date here recently, so anyway, it was situated deep within the Adirondack State Park in upstate New York. The cabin was built atop a Cold War-era missile silo and is currently on the market for $1.75 million. It's basically perfect for surviving the end of the world. The above-ground home is 2,000 square feet, but if you use the keypad entry to the basement, you'll find 2,300 more square feet that was a former launch control center and has been converted with dining and entertainment space and 2-bedroom suites, complete with marble bathrooms. It has 10-foot-tall ceilings, simulated daylight, and an open floor plan. And there's tons of pictures here that you can go and actually see of this place. There's artwork. There's pictures of artwork of what this stuff looks like. But then there's actual pictures of it. There's a lot of the surrounding area, too, which is pretty desolate. And it has its own airport. You have your own personal runway. It's awesome. This place is really pretty badass, I have to admit. With this armored door to the basement that really was part of a missile defense place. The basement house, which is really, really nice. It's circular, just like you would think in a missile silo, but it's really, really nice. This is actually really quite the nice house. I'd like to own it myself. It's a 9-story structure that, of course, used to house a missile. It'd be perfect for underground condos. Now, there's a lot of stuff here that you can go and take a look at. I want you to see these pictures. This place is fantastic. And I would love to be able to buy this place, but I don't think that's ever going to happen. Anyway, let's go ahead and move on to something else. It's courtesy of BeforeIt'sNews.com. Back in 1969, the Russian KGB supposedly rescued a UFO shot down by their fighters. A small ship was found, and several small humanoids were found inside. Now, a while back in one of the earlier shows, we talked about the video that you're going to see. It's basically this, what appears to be a disc, a saucer-shaped object that's buried halfway in the ground with all of these KGB guys, these Russian military guys standing around it. Now, what you're going to see later on in the video is the autopsy of one of those humanoids that proves, or supposedly proves, that we have little brothers out there in space. Now, this humanoid really only appears to be maybe a foot to a foot and a half tall. It looks emaciated. It looks like it doesn't have any meat on its bones, and they cut it open. They pull out all of its little organs, and I mean, it looks to be somewhat real, but I can't really say that it is. I mean, it looks as if it might be some kind of hoax, I have to say. But at the same time, it's an interesting video. If you have a squeamish stomach, you might not want to go take a look at it. But either way, it's interesting, and I think it's worth taking a look at. So let's go ahead and move on to something else. It's courtesy of space.com, and it's a monolith on Mars. Now, this is courtesy of space.com. So it makes me wonder, why would they post this on here? Because they seem to be a fairly reputable place to find good images of space. But amateur stargazers have discovered an intriguing object jutting out from the surface of Mars. The seemingly perfect rectangular upright structure found in NASA images of the red planet bears a striking resemblance to the monoliths planted on Earth and the Moon by aliens in the classic sci-fi film 2001: A Space Odyssey. The object in question was first spotted several years ago after being photographed by the high-rise camera on board the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, which is a NASA probe. Every so often, it garners renewed interest on the internet. But it is unnatural. A beacon erected by aliens? No, I don't know. Possibly. And even more mysteriously paralleled in the imaginations of Stanley Kubrick and Arthur C. Clarke. According to Jonathan Hill, a research technician and mission planner on the Mars Spaceflight Facility at Arizona State University, who processes many of the images taken during NASA's Mars missions, the object in question is no more than a roughly rectangular boulder. But how often do you really see a rectangular boulder? The high-rise camera that photographed it has a resolution of approximately 1 foot, or 30 centimeters, per pixel. Impressive considering the 180-mile altitude from which it takes a photograph. But it's not quite sharp enough to capture the cragginess of a mid-sized boulder. It's really interesting to take a look at this picture, because it's really difficult to tell whether or not this is just a boulder, because it looks, if you take a look at the picture and you expand it out, you can see the shadow that is cast behind it from the sun. And this object doesn't resemble anything like the area around it. Nothing else looks like it. Now, if I was going to make an educated guess, I would say that the width of this looks to be about a third of the height. And the thickness from front to back looks to be about a tenth of the height. It's a very odd structure. It does resemble a monolith. It looks as if I was just going to make just to give you some dimensions, it looks like it could be 6 feet tall, 2 feet wide, and half a foot or a foot thick from front to back, top to bottom, side to side. It's a rather interesting object to take a look at. And for them to say that it's just a naturally occurring rectangular boulder is just odd. Because I've been around a lot of boulders in my time. There's a place in Virginia called the Devil's Marble Yard. And it's just this ginormous pile of boulders, and it goes up the side of this mountain, and I think I've talked about this story before, but it's an interesting place, and not one of those boulders looks to be naturally occurring rectangle. It's just an odd thing to take a look at this picture and to know that this is on Mars and that it's a rectangle jutting straight up out of the ground and resembles nothing like the objects around it. There's nothing anywhere close to it that looks like this. So it's just an odd thing. So anyway, one more article and then we're going to take a break. And then we've just got a lot of really interesting stuff. This article is courtesy of sowatonlive.co.za. A man claims to have gone to heaven and has a map of it. A Mandini, KwaZulu-Natal resident, is drawing huge crowds to his home after claiming that he has been to heaven 4 times and has a map of it. The self-proclaimed prophet, 64-year-old Sibusiso Mtembu, says there are 11 heavens, each of which he has visited, with his first heavenly journey having taken place in December of 1998. Since then, the news has spread, and a lot of people have been going to his house to see the map. A visitor who had known Mtimbu for a long time said, "I don't know whether to believe this or not. I think it's about one's religion or belief. Some people are convinced that it's a true map, while others are not." Mtimbu claims his other three journeys took place in 2004, 2006, and 2008. On his return, he drew a map of heaven and its residents. He claimed that on December 22, 1993, a white man arrived at his home and told him that he was needed in heaven. An angel, whom I later realized was Gabriel, who was in his early 20s, appeared at my house and led me to the Mandini River, where he baptized me and returned to heaven. Mtimbu said that the angel arrived in 1998 and this time took him along with him to heaven. I was then taken to the fifth heaven called Krista, where I met Jesus in a city called Sharami. Mtimbu said that there are 11 heavens. The main one was Salem, where God's temple was. He also said that his journey has raised questions about his faith in God and the truth of life. There's a little bit more to this article here that you can go and take a look at about the, what the guy said and, you know, what Jesus looks like and, you know, other things about this heaven, that these 11 heavens that he's experienced. Is this some kind of hallucination or some kind of dementia, or did the man actually go to heaven? I mean, they do say that there are 9 levels of hell, so why wouldn't there be different levels of heaven? Well, we were going to go ahead and take a break, but let's go ahead and move on to this next article real quick, which is courtesy of dailymail.co.uk. Apparently, a Zimbabwe reservoir has been put on delay because of mermaids. Essential work on planned reservoirs in Zimbabwe have stopped because mermaids have been hounding workers away, according to the country's water resources minister. Samuel Sepepa Nkomo told a Zimbabwean parliamentary committee that terrified workers are refusing to return to the sites near the towns of Gokwe and Mature. Minister Nkomo said that the problem was to brew traditional beer and carry out any rites to appease the spirits. "All of the officers I have sent have vowed not to go back there," said the minister. The senior politician said that the mermaids were also present in other reservoirs. "We've even hired whites, thinking that our boys did not want to work, but they also returned saying that they would not work there again." Two long overdue reservoirs are considered essential if Zimbabwe is to provide adequate water to its population and to boost agricultural production. Having once been the breadbasket of South Africa, the country's farms have been laid low by lack of faith in government policy. The belief in mermaids and other mythical creatures is widespread in the country, where many people combine a Christian faith with traditional beliefs. Local government, rural, and urban development minister Ignatius Chombo said that the government wants to give the population the water it needs, but cannot do so until the rituals are performed and necessary repairs can be carried out. Do you really think that there are mermaids there? I mean, there's an article coming up later on that I want to take a look at that I think might show a little bit of evidence that there could be mermaids. But at the same time, these days, you never know what's hoaxed. There's a little bit more to this article here and some pictures for you to go take a look at, a little bit more for you to read. But I want you guys to go and take a look at this. And if you have any opinions on it, let me know what you think about mermaids. I love hearing about the crypto stuff, the strange creatures that are out there. So again, if you have an opinion or something, let me know. I'd love to hear about it. All right, well, let's go ahead and take a little bit of a break here. When we get back, we're going to be taking a look at a photograph that was taken by demolition workers of a possible ghost. A mermaid has been found in Egypt, possibly. Giant mummified fingers of the Nephilim. So you guys stay put. We'll be back in just a minute.
I don't wanna be a
right, welcome back, everybody. Now, this next thing that we're going to take a look at is a video courtesy of LiveLeak.com. A human-shaped ghostly figure seems to enter a living room. Now, I've taken a look at this video several times. It's only 14 seconds long, and from what I can tell, it seems to be CGI. It could very well be a real-life ghost caught on camera. I don't really know. But to me, it seems a bit fake. Again, it's only 14 seconds long. There's not much there. What you're going to see is this old room that looks to be furnished in kind of a mid-early 19th century Victorian kind of way. There's a mirror on the wall above a fireplace. There is an old couch, old chairs, old table. It looks to be a room, like a sitting room, that you would go and, you know, drink cognac and smoke a cigar, that kind of thing. But what you're going to see is what appears to be French doors on the right side of the video that are opening up into this room. And they're already open. They're not actually opening whenever this is happening. But what you're going to see is this white humanoid-looking figure start to come through the doors. And as it makes its way across the room, when it gets to about the fireplace, it just fades away. Is this a ghost? Is this CGI? I don't know. It does appear to be see-through. It appears to be in a human shape. But at the same time, with technology these days, it does appear to be fake. But the video, the graininess of it, appears as if maybe this was captured on videotape rather than digitally. So it might be a little bit more difficult to fake. I don't know. Again, this is one of those things you're going to have to go and take a look at for yourself. Draw your conclusions for yourself. And if you have an opinion and you want to let me know, please do. I'd love to hear what it is. Now, this next article is courtesy of telegraph.co.uk. Demolition workers photograph a ghost of what is apparently the guest house worker. Demolition workers were given a fright after photographing a ghostly figure peering through the window of a derelict Victorian guest house in Kendal, Cumbria. The image is said to be an eerie resemblance of Francis Grimshaw, who worked at the guest house and stood for hours at the same window taking bookings. David Grimshaw, a former resident of the property, said he was convinced the figure is the ghost of his mother, who died nearly a year ago at age 87. He believes her spirit may have appeared to protest at the demolition of the Meadowbank house. He said, "That is my mother. I'm totally convinced. No one else looks like that. She had glasses and big earrings, and she used to wear a dress with a bow at the front." Now, if you look at this picture, you'll actually see what appears to be the figure of a woman with dark hair, this white shirt covered with maybe a black coat of some kind or a black dress with this white front and what appears to be earrings, and she appears to be looking out the window to what would be her left or right of the picture. It really is quite the creepy picture. I want you guys to go and take a look at it. There is obviously someone there. There has to be something or someone behind this glass looking out the window. Demolition supervisor Robert Johnson, who's 38, of Haysham, said he took the photograph of the house shortly before they knocked it down. "It wasn't until I got home and showed my wife that we spotted the woman. You can see the jewelry on her ear and everything. I've always been a skeptic, but I'll have to believe in ghosts now," he said. Colleague Stuart Sean, who's 34 of Blackburn in Lancashire, said, "The day before we took the photograph, we were stripping the building inside and I noticed the chandelier swinging on its own. We said at the time the place felt strange. My hairs were standing on end when I saw the photo. I believe it's a ghost." Dave Armstrong of Kendal Contractors, Cox and Allen, said the five-gabled building, which was originally a dentist office in the early 1900s, has been taken down to be replaced with a new commercial property. What I want to know is that since they're going to be replacing this building with something else, do they have any paranormal activity, any ghostly sightings like that in the new building? Because really, if you think about it, if the energy is in that area, just because they tear down a building, does that mean that the energy is going to be going with the building when they take the pieces away? Or is that energy going to be in that one spot? So when they build something there, you're going to continue to see that energy manifest itself. I don't know. I think it's rather fascinating, and I want you guys to go and take a look at this picture. It's really rather creepy. So let's go ahead and move on to something that's back on the mermaid area. It's courtesy of liveleak.com. There's a photograph here for you to go take a look at that very well could be real, but very well could be faked as well. This skeleton of what looks like a mermaid was apparently discovered in the Egyptian desert near Fayum by a crew of archaeologists from the FI School of Archaeology, who made use of the window of Egyptian non-government to push ahead. The photo is from a non-verified source, and in any case, they don't believe that such creatures exist. It is rather interesting, and if you know anything about LiveLeak whatsoever, open up the comments down at the bottom and read them and look at the avatars these people have. Absolutely priceless. I have to say, very rough people. If you join this site and make comments, don't have thin skin. You're going to need very, very thick skin because these people are very harsh. I love them to death because LiveLeak is a great site, has all kinds of different stuff on there. But if you're going to post comments, be careful. They will tear you apart. What you see is what looks to be half of a human skeleton, and that other half is of a fish. The top half is a human with arms and a human skull with a human backbone that eventually merges into the lower half of a fish, as if it was a mermaid. What to think of it? I'm believing that it's probably a fake. If anybody knows anything else about it and whether or not it actually is fake, let me know. I'd love to hear about it. All right, well, we're running long on time here, you guys. I want to try and keep the shows at about an hour. That way, maybe I can get more of them out. This next article is courtesy of DatelineZero.com, and it's a giant mummified finger that's been found in Egypt. A lot of stuff that's crazy coming out of Egypt. A photo of a very large, apparently mummified finger began making the rounds through the news sites and fringe blogs. It was taken by Gregor Spori, a 56-year-old disco entrepreneur from Basel in Switzerland. The pic was taken in 1998 in the land of pharaohs and pyramids, and there are pictures there that you can go and take a look at of what apparently is a finger. While on holiday in Egypt, Spori, and I think I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, if anybody knows how to pronounce that, let me know. He had a meeting with an unnamed old man with a history of grave robbing. They met around 100 kilometers outside of Cairo at a farmhouse in Bir Hukr. The man wanted to show off an item that he wasn't going to sell and called it a family treasure. He paid $300 to be able to gaze at this thing. It has a translation here of what the guy said. It was an oblong package, smelled musty. I was totally flabbergasted when I saw the dark brown relic was allowed to take it in hand and also take pictures. A bill was put next to it as, you know, a size comparison, which if you take a look at this, of a normal sized bill is usually around 6 to 7 inches long and about 3 or 4 inches wide, or top to bottom. And this thing apparently appears to be somewhere in the area of about maybe a foot and a half long. This is a really big finger. It'd be able to grab you around your waist pretty easily. If it was, you know, if this was a pinky finger, then obviously this is just a ginormous hand. But the grave robber showed evidence that it was a real finger and not a fake. He had an x-ray and documentation showing that it had been examined by a medical official. The guy, Spori, seems to be convinced that the finger was flesh and bone. Of course, you never know. This could be a fake. There's been a lot of stuff out there that's been faked. But this, I want you guys to go and take a look at these fingers. I really couldn't tell you if it's real. Couldn't tell you if it's fake. But it does appear to be mummified. But then again, there's a lot of fake stuff in this world. And you never know what you're going to get. So the next article that I wanted to take a look at is thetruthbehindthescenes.org. It's a human-sized bat that people are saying that could be the chupacabra, or at least what people have thought to be the chupacabra, has been found in Peru. The Peruvian army has captured something truly horrific, a bat the size of a human. There's a picture there of it that you can go and take a look at, and it truly is really crazy. This bat probably has a 15-foot wide wingspan, and its body is the size of a human. Apparently, this animal has been frightening locals living near the Amazon jungle bordering Peru. Recent reports state that the animal attacked several people walking through the jungle and elsewhere in Latin America. Many say that this is the chupacabra. Some people think that it's a giant golden-crowned flying fox, one of the largest species of bats in the world, with a wingspan of 1.5 to 1.7 meters, or 4 foot 10 inches to 5 foot 7 inches. This creature exceeds that all. If you're going to go by the picture, go by scale for what you're seeing with the men that are there. This thing looks as if it has a wingspan of at least 15 feet and would stand on its hind legs at least 6 feet tall. It's pretty crazy. It's really creepy. If I saw something flying at me like that, I don't know if I'd think it was the chupacabra or the Mothman. Either way, it's really creepy. I want you guys to go in again. Like always, I want you to take a look at it and draw the conclusions for yourself. Now, these next two articles and video are courtesy of SOT.net and LiveLeak.com. It's supposedly an alien base on the moon that was photographed by China's orbiter, the Chang'e 2. There is no doubt that the moon must be explored and closely examined due to the probability of alien activity. The following video and images show an alien moon facility captured by China's second moon orbiter, the Chang'e 2. Now, there's a couple of videos here for you to go and take a look at. And the guy that was talking about this describes everything about it as far as how he came across the photos and how he knew that the video is real. I want you guys to go and take a look at this. We're running really long here. I need to cut this short. But he claims that NASA has deliberately bombed important areas of the moon in an effort to destroy ancient artifacts and facilities. Pictures yet to be released clearly show nuclear impact craters and building debris caused by explosions in an effort by NASA to destroy the truth. China is moving forward toward full disclosure of the extraterrestrial reality. If these images and future ones are verified genuine, then NASA should be investigated for fraud and treason. Now, that's what this article says. I'm not saying that myself, so I don't want to see any MIB showing up at my door for having said that. China will be releasing all of the data and images from the Chang'e 2 in the coming weeks and months. I haven't heard anything else about it, but if anybody has, let me know. I'd love to see more about this. It does look as if there are some rectangular, square-shaped objects, let's put it that way, in these photographs, in these pictures of what's on the moon. I don't necessarily know if it's on the moon, because you never know. I mean, these days, photographs can be, you know, manipulated in so many ways, it's not even funny. But it does appear to be, at least to some degree, real. I don't know if it actually is or not. But it, you know, these objects, this area on the moon does look out of, it looks out of the ordinary, because you have all of these craters around it that are round, all of these hills and ridges that are rounded off, that are smooth, that are not concentric. I guess concentric might not be the best word. They're not squared off like this little area of the moon is. So it makes me think that, in all honesty, it has to be built. There had to be something build this stuff rather than it being a natural phenomenon. I don't really know. Kind of like the monolith on Mars. Is it real or is it not? Now, the last thing, and yes, the last thing that I wanted to take a look at is for all of you people out there that have millions and millions and millions of dollars that you just want to blow on your own little private yacht. Or if you happen to have one of these, well, you got pretty much the perfect place to survive the zombie apocalypse. It's the Orsis Island, and it's OrsisIsland.com. An exciting new home or holiday experience if you're trying to get away from those damn zombies. So what this is, it stands, ORSIS, it stands for easygoing, relaxed, and personal holiday experience that combines all the positive aspects of mainland real estate and luxury yachts. This thing is absolutely awesome. And if I had the money, which I think they're around $15 million, oh, I'd buy one. I'd buy one in a heartbeat. If I was Bill Gates or Oprah Winfrey, I'd be buying one in a heartbeat just because I'd want one. If I had billions of dollars to spend, why not? The Island Conception combines personal atmosphere, nature experience, and the mobility of a yacht. This thing is absolutely awesome. I want you to go take a look at this thing and let me know what you think, because you produce your own energy, you produce your own water, you have your own flora that you can produce, you basically have outdoor areas, you have a sun deck, a main deck, a storage facility, and another indoor main deck, you have rooms and a lower deck. And all, I mean, you could probably fit 300 people or more on this thing. It's just really badass, and I had to show you guys. I want you guys to go and take a look at it and let me know what you think. It's just, it's really, really crazy. It's really awesome. I love it. But anyway, let's go ahead and take one last break and close out the show.
Hello, Patsy, give me a call. Do you want to get your hair cut? Bye.
Just noticed some small bumps around my eye.
Uh-oh.
They look like almost like small pimples or something like that.
They hid dope on her, Margie. Hello? God only knows what it was.
Guys and gals, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, I really do appreciate you coming out and taking a listen to the resurrection of the 13 Skulls. I know it's probably kind of a harsh word, the rebirth of the 13 Skulls. I thought it was about time to get a new show out. And since it is the end of the show, let's go ahead and bury the formalities and get them out of the way. If you have an experience or feedback, criticisms, opinions, or you just want to BS, it doesn't really matter, email me the13skulls@gmail.com or info@the13skulls.com. Or you can call in and tell me your feedback at 817-986-0019. I'm also looking into getting a new phone number with somebody other than Google, because for some reason Google voicemails only last about 3 minutes. And whenever I go to K7, if you don't use it and nobody calls in a month, they cancel your number. So I'm looking for something else for people to be able to call into, some kind of other voicemail service. So if anybody knows anything, let me know. I'd love to hear some ideas. But if you want, check out the Facebook page for a lot of great stuff that's being posted. A huge, huge thank you to Miles out there for all the wonderful stuff you dig up and post, man. I really, really do appreciate it. I don't think that Facebook page would be the same if it wasn't for you. So thank you. Also, check out the most recent UFO sightings at ufoclearinghouse.webs.com. And if you want, give me a review in iTunes. I thank you to you all. Solely J-Man, thanks. You're the one I think gave me the most recent review. I really do appreciate it. I hope you're doing good. I hope you've had fun at the campfire that you were talking about. If you want, listen through Stitcher. Yes, the 13 Skulls is on Stitcher. If you want, go to Stitcher.com and check them out. I'd love to be able to get more people listening to the show through that. If you like the music in the show, some of it will be courtesy of the IOTA PromoNet at www.iotaalliance.com. Or some of the music might be provided by Mevio's Music Alley. You can check them out at music.mevio.com. The sound effects that have been, are being, and will be used in the show are courtesy of the Free Sound Project at www.freesound.org. I want to give a big thank you to Midnight Corey at the Electric Chair Podcast, electricchairshow.com, for the shout out. If you have a promo, man, I'd love to play it in the show. Send it my way. And one of these days, I want to come on your show too, man. I want to have a chat with you. I want to talk to you a little bit. I've always enjoyed listening to your shows, Corey, but lately I've been backlogged with the podcast. I haven't had as much time to take a listen to them, and I'm getting to the point where I don't even know if I'm going to be able to catch up on them. And a big thank you to Bill Shetty at the Horror Palace for the promo. You can find him at horrorpalace.com. And Eerie Radio's back. If anybody out there is a fan of Eerie Radio, they are now Eerie X at eeriex.com. Again, as always, I'll post a link up to everything you've heard about in the show in the show notes. And this time there is a crap ton of stuff in the show notes. I don't even know if one page on the website is going to be big enough for all the stuff that's on there. It's ridiculous. It really is. It's crazy. But anyway, if you have a podcast, radio show, book, or anything at all, you want to swap promos, let me know. Just email me and we can go on just like that. Well, guys and gals, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, I really, truly do appreciate you coming out and listening to the show. For all of you who have stuck around for all these months and months and months and months and months without a show, I can't say thank you enough for having listened and for coming back and listening even more. Your support is what makes me want to do this. I wouldn't want to do it if nobody was listening, but at the same time, it's a hobby, and I enjoy it, and I'm glad to be able to get out there and put a show out. Even if nobody listens, it's still fun for me to do. I enjoy getting behind the mic. But anyway, I hope you guys are doing good. Have a great day, night, week, weekend, whenever it is that you're listening to this. I'll talk to you guys again on another day.
Listen, you can fill your bottles full of piss. I'm center stage, aim them at me. You can make up stories of this. You can cover our page if you're green with envy. You can bite your lip, make a fist. Whether lyrics or physical, swing shit with me. I'm tired of your drivel, it's boring. And you know where to find us, high up soaring. I got it.